Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Can't really speak today, Cormac, to be honest with you. Big and bad. We have to go back in time. Like, the words are coming out of my mouth, but not in the right order. Did you ever have one of those days where you just can't talk? Which is not great if you work in radio, but that's okay because now we're going to go back in time and do a segment that Mr. Cormac Battle is going to take over. Thank God.
Other people. You've got other people got other to people do the talking for you today.
To lean
on. So don't worry about it, yeah.
I love this. We go back in time to a year. A random year. We're going back to 1998, and yeah. I love this because a lot of stuff happened in the country that we have forgotten.
It's just, yeah, every time I do this, I just realise, God almighty, I forgot all about that. And you definitely would have, I've really started big on this.
Go
one,
on.
Jen. Big in 1998. This is the biggest news in the whole world. Car clamping was introduced in Dublin.
I can't believe
for the
that.
First time it came into Ireland in August of 1998. I don't know why I'm starting with this, but it's happening now, so I'm going to keep going. It meant that the new system that any motorist parking illegally on yellow lines, etc., would be clamped. And the motorist caught under the new system had to pay £65 at the time to have their vehicle declamped. I didn't think that was a word, declamped. I came across that for the first time yesterday. And if the car was taken away, because they could take your car away for the first time, put it on the back of a lorry and bring it to a pound or a compound, £135. And would you believe the fee has only gone up this year? It hasn't gone up once since 1998. It went up this year to 100. I haven't got the figure. Jesus. It's gone up this year for the first time since 1998. But anyway, here's a wee clip from a news report and some voices of the public on what they thought about the clamping when it came in.
This is what you may expect to see when Dublin Corporation introduces car clamping in August. Not a pleasant situation to be in for the car owner, but one that is necessary, according to the corporation, to help solve the problem of traffic congestion in the city.
I suppose I would like it. It goes without saying.
Whereas they're towed away, at least the inconvenience is done away with. Clamping is not going to clear the road for me to drive on.
I think it's a marvellous idea.
Why?
Because then we might solve some of the traffic problems we have in the city.
It didn't. It didn't solve the problems. And Dublin City Council, last year they got 2.6 million. I don't know where the rest of the country, but clamps, yeah, they're here to stay. And was the year they came in, 1998. You got clamped twice?
In my life.
Did you get the angle grinder out of the car?
I
you got
did,
an
yeah,
angle
I took
grinder.
It off myself.
Did you ever see someone doing that? Taking a clamp off with an angle grinder?
That's a myth. People can't do that.
I've seen it done many occasions.
Have you?
Yep, I have, yeah. A battery pack.
We don't condone this.
No, we don't. It's not a good idea, and it'll probably break your angle grinder.
1998.
Yeah. I thought they were there since
forever.
You know, since when cars
forever,
were
forever. Yeah.
Invented.
Okay. What else was happening?
Now look, this is a monumental moment in Irish history. In April of 1998, it was the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. Now, this agreement ended most of the violence of the Troubles. A political conflict in Northern Ireland that had been going on since the 1960s. And, you know, nightly on the news, we were seeing reports of bombs going off, people getting shot and so on and so forth. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. But this was the moment when this pretty much came to an end. And I didn't know this, but the agreement was signed by the politicians at the time in the North. It was also called the Belfast Agreement. But it had to be approved by voters in the South and the North as well. So there was two referendums held after that. Because the politician said this agreement is signed, we all had to agree that we were happy to go ahead with this. So there was two referendums held. 94% of people in the South said yes to the Belfast Agreement and 71% of people in the North, no surprise, said yes to peace. But I could play some official statements and, you know, politicians saying this is a fantastic day and all that. But days before the referendum of the Belfast Agreement, U2 and Ash, I think it was the Ulster Hall, they got together in front of 2,000 young people from schools across Northern Ireland, played some tunes to encourage them to give a yes vote, a yes for peace. And Bono, which for some, they walked out, but David Trimble, a unionist, and John Hume, who was on the Catholic side, both came out on stage at the end of Bono, held up their hands. You can't hear that in the clip, but you can hear the lead up to it here. Have a listen to this.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
Oh, yes.
I would like to introduce you to two men who are making history. Two men who've taken a leap of faith out of the past and into the future.
Yeah, and that was it.
That's the lad who scored the goal last night, isn't it?
That's Bono, the guy who scored. No, he saved the goal.
Bono's all over the show today, obviously, with the Moroccan goalkeeper named Bono, who saved the penalties last night. And now he's in back in time.
Now, yeah.
Making history.
Making history.
With Ash as well on the stage.
Yeah, Ash and you two on stage. Yeah, it's something else. It's worth looking back on YouTube to have a gander at that.
Okay, so that was 1998.
Well, that was in 1998. That, like, obviously, that was the biggest story of 1998 in Ireland, but also elsewhere. Bill Clinton, you know, who was involved in the peace process, but he was having a different situation. In January of 1998, the news of Bill Clinton's extramarital affair with intern Monica Lewinsky became public. Monica Lewinsky was a White House intern in her early 20s, and in 1995. Herself and Bill Clinton began a sexual relationship that continued sporadically for 2 years.
Whoa!
Until
1997.
Two years.
I didn't know it was 2 years.
Yeah. The first one happened on November the 15th of 1995. And according to Monica, they had seven more sexual liaisons in the White House. Up to the point where she was moved off to the Pentagon to get a new job and get away
from
Bill.
Can we just clarify one thing? I just have a question for you. Hopefully you have this. How old was she at the time?
Oh, no, she was 20. She was in her early 20s. Early 20s, yeah.
Can you think about it?
I don't know how old Bill was at the time, but he certainly wasn't in his late 20s. I don't know how old he was at the time.
But the shame that woman got around that time, it was the target.
Yeah, it's funny because it didn't roll her way. No. She seemed to get the blame for leading Bill Clinton astray. You know, this was unbelievable. But look, there's two famous clips here. This is the first time when he was asked about the allegations, and he famously stating at a press conference he had no idea.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Yeah!
Yeah, these allegations are false, but after much wrangling and investigation, he was forced to change his story to this.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
Phenomenal.
In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part, for which I am solely and completely responsible.
Okay, and at least he took all the blame.
And he was gonna lose the presidency over this because he was served with impeachment notice, and that he didn't get impeached, which would have meant he would have not been president anymore. But he finished his second term. With really high ratings, despite the scandal. And Monica Lewinsky went on to do a load of things, but she became an anti-bullying advocate, the last I saw, anyway. So it didn't hurt his career at all.
Of course it didn't.
I think it actually helped his career
in some ways.
Absolutely.
What's next, Cormac?
Showbiz story of the year of 1998. It is one of the most successful films of all time. And it won 11 Academy Awards. We're talking about the most expensive film made ever up to that point. We're talking Titanic, Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. James Cameron, the director, ironically, wanted Enya to do the score for the movie. Did you know that? And she said no. So Celine...
Bit obvious.
So
with her hit song, Sail Away. Bit obvious, no?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she would have been perfect. She said no to the gig, but that opened the door for Celine Dion. So Celine Dion muscled in on the action, and in doing so, made a career out of the song she provided for the soundtrack. And now, this is one of the worst songs in human history.
Sorry, what?
The Celine Dion song, right?
Phenomenal song.
Do you honestly think it's a phenomenal song?
It's a great album.
I've never seen the movie. Honest to God, I've never seen it because that song was played so much, and it kind of spoke to me about what the film would be like. And is it good?
It's good. I'll watch it.
Is it? Is that all you can say?
Yeah, I love the
11
party
Academy Awards.
How have you not seen the movie? Hang on, how did you escape that?
I just haven't seen it. You know, I didn't go to the cinema to watch the movie.
Don't go to the cinema. Well, my mother went to the cinema to watch it and had to leave because she felt seasick. Because I think she was sitting right up the front and didn't feel very well and had to leave in the middle of it.
Well, there's an indulgence. Still won 11 Academy Awards.
Probably wasn't that bad because it's about 3 hours long.
Some tune, though.
Jeez. Some tune. Big tune. I might play that later on.
Yeah.
So, sporting. Let's talk about sport.
Yeah, sport. A very interesting event. It happened in 1998. In August, FINA, which is swimming's international governing body, banned Irish Olympic champion Michelle Smith de Bruyn from the sport of swimming for 4 years. And she'd won a staggering 3 gold medals and a bronze at the Atlanta Olympics 2 years earlier. The triple champion sparked controversy 2 years after her wins in 1998 when she was banned for 4 years for tampering with a urine sample, which effectively ended her career, as I said. However, she was not stripped of her Olympic medals, as she had never tested positive for any banned substances. Interestingly, this is a clip of a statement she sent to Joe Duffy's show last year as part of a congratulations she sent out to our Olympic rowers that were in Tokyo. Now, it's not her voice. It was a written statement she sent in, and so it's voiced by somebody else, but it's powerful and direct nonetheless.
25 years ago this week, I became the first Irish woman to win an Olympic gold medal. By the end of that week in Atlanta, I had become a triple Olympic champion. 25 years have passed, and people still stop to tell me where they were when I won my medals. I will always be incredibly proud of what I achieved in Atlanta and remain touched by the level of support still shown to me by the people of Ireland. Michelle Smith de Bruyn, triple Olympic champion.
Yeah, and it speaks for itself.
Okay, we need to talk about the song.
The song, I know you're going to like this, Jen. It was released in May of 1998. It was a debut single which went to number one in loads of countries around the world, and they became the youngest girl group ever to have a UK number one. The youngest girl group ever. And we're talking about This Lot.
Oh, we loved that for an L bop. That was my era. They were my people. They were the same age as me.
Are they Baldoyle people as well?
They're Donamead, yeah. Shane, the Lynch twins are Baldoyle and they're Kildare and all over the place. But yeah, they were me. I was like so jealous. I was like, I wanted to be in that band.
You could have been in that band. You really could.
I need to be a better singer to be in a band like that.
Just the gimpier. You have that bewitched vibe going on.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
I actually do a little bit.
You do.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
But yeah, do you realise as well that, you know, the Ivor Novello Awards, they're kind of a kind of knobby kind of awards for songs with, you know, good. This was nominated for Best Song Musically and Lyrically, the Ivor Novello Awards, which happened the following year, which is great, actually, because, you know, one could argue it's a disposable pop song, but it was taken seriously in those awards. But there you go. Fantastic.
Amazing. Okay, thanks, Mill, for that, Cormac. We will play the song in full. Are we going to do it, Audrey? Yes. Graham wants it. Of course he wants it. Of course Graham wants the full song.
Bit of double denim.
Absolutely.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.